From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back, Chiefs Kingdom. This is Locked On Chiefs, and we have a great show for you. We're going to get into some of the specifics that you want to know about Patrick Mahomes and all things Chiefs with our old friend Mark Schofield. He'll be joining us here in a little bit. Today, we're brought to you by Pepsi, and the football season is different, and Pepsi's there to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch or who you watch on a weekend that the Chiefs aren't playing. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through a game and become a member of the League of Football Watchers, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. We'll get in with Mark here later in the show, but yeah, there's a couple of things that have popped up very midweek here on what should be a relaxation time for the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and your host at RJR Football.
And I'm Chris Clark. Thank you all for listening. We really do appreciate that. And yeah, there's been a couple of things that have popped up. Thankfully, it's the Chiefs' bye week, so hopefully it's not going to be affecting them for the games. When we jump into the news for today, the number one piece of news for the Kansas City Chiefs, Mecole Hardman got placed on the COVID-19 watch list.
Mecole, it's the bye week. I'm not supposed to have to deal with news today. What is going on?
Yeah, honestly, it's hard to know. We don't know, and I said this, we don't know if this is he tested positive for COVID or he was exposed to somebody positive for COVID. If he tested positive, I'm pretty sure he's out against the Raiders. Mm-hmm. But if he was just exposed to somebody, then maybe it's possible that he'll come back and he'll be able to play. But at this point, that's something we're going to have to wait on. And honestly, now I think about it, I don't even know if that's the major story. That is a story, but I don't think it's the major story. I think the major story is the NFLPA sent a union rep to the Chiefs organization, and he was walking around talking to the players without a mask on, and the union reps are not required to be tested.
That's going to drive me nuts, because you're right, especially if Mecole has to miss a game at which against the only team that's beaten them so far this season, where you would like to have as much speed as possible, because I think the Raiders have continued, despite what we saw earlier, they've continued to go deep a few times, Aguilar and Ruggs especially. So you want to be able to strike back with someone other than just Tyreek as well. That's a big deal. But for the NFLPA to send someone who doesn't follow what I have to admit is a very strict protocol by this team, that's counterproductive. You're supposed to be protecting these players, not exposing them.
Yeah, and to be clear, just so we are clear on this, this meeting happened late last month. So it happened in October, so it's probably not related to the Hardman thing, I would imagine. But the Chiefs have asked the NFL to launch an inquiry with the NFLPA after a union rep conducted an in-person meeting with all Chiefs players late last month, and rep allegedly was unmasked while meeting and mingling with the players in close proximity. Concern is this is a violation of the NFL and NFLPA protocols, as you said, and the rep is not subject to the same testing as players and personnel and regularly travels among clubs per source. NFL and team believes this created unnecessary risk of exposure to players and staff, and I don't think you can argue that at all whatsoever.
I'm with you completely. And like you said, it may not have caused this thing with Mecole. That's fine. Other things happen. We've seen a couple of people be exposed, but that's taking it beyond the necessary risk in order to keep your relationship with the NFLPA and its constituents, the players. But you also have to remember most of their representatives, or however they worded that, are ex-players. So it blurs the lines a lot.
Yeah, it does. And honestly, I'm kind of surprised that the NFLPA would have been doing that and that it wouldn't have been addressed with another organization if they were doing it with another organization before they got to the Chiefs. But obviously it's something that's going to be addressed for the future.
Yeah, it's got to be, because it's one thing to have it be this week, the one week that the Chiefs can actually take a little bit of time with things. But if that happens here in the next month, when you're trying to get up and running to hit that postseason takeoff, that's a significant thing to the scope of the season, not just this week.
Yeah, and who knows how many people could expose, and with as much as it seems to replicate through people and go through different things, you would think that is definitely something that's going to be addressed and that they will get taken care of. you know, the other small piece of news, Damone Harris did pass through waivers, so he is technically a free agent right now. I would not be surprised if he makes it back to the active roster, but the practice squad.
Yeah, I would expect that as well. We'll look to hear that in the next couple of days.
Little bit of a concern, but we have to turn the page towards the positive, and I look forward to hearing what you and Mark talk about, because I'm sure it has a lot to do with Mahomes, but the offense overall, right?
Yeah, talked about the offense, but also talked a little bit about the Patriots, because, you know, he covers them pretty close, and I just want to get his opinion on Brady and the Patriots early on in the conversation. So a little bit of that in there as well.
This football season would be different, and Pepsi's ready to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch. I'll be watching at home on the satellite like every year, but it is definitely a strange season. Pepsi's the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com and check out the latest football watching content for Pepsi. Between a never-ending laundry cycle and incoming emails, you've got plenty to do on your list. Give yourself one last thing to worry about and let DoorDash take care of your next meal. If you want Chinese and she wants pizza, or the kids want Froyo, there's something for everyone over at DoorDash. Continue supporting restaurants in your community safely, where there are thousands of restaurants open for delivery on DoorDash that need your patronage now more than ever. DoorDash is the app that brings you food that you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be safely delivered outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off setting.
With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite local restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. DoorDash deliveries are now contactless to keep communities we operate in safe. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code Locked On. That's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code Locked On. Don't forget, that's code Locked On for $5 off your first order with DoorDash.
And welcome back to another episode of Locked On Chiefs. I am Chris Clark, and today I have Mark Schofield of USA Today Touchdown Wire. Mark, how's it going today?
I'm doing well, Chris. I could be better. We recorded this on Tuesday, and the New England Patriots played a football game on Monday night. I'm not going to say they won a football game, because I almost get the sense, Chris, that both teams were trying to lose that game more than anything else. And the New England Patriots did end up winning. They are now 3-5, which as a Patriots fan is new territory for me. But that aside, I'm doing pretty well, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing well. I have to ask you really quick. Do you feel it's more of a situation where Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are just so much better together than they are apart? Do you think what you're seeing here aspects?
I think you might be seeing some of that. I think from New England's perspective, you are definitely getting the sense that Tom Brady was able to mask many manners of sin from a roster construction and a roster evaluation standpoint, from an execution standpoint in New England. But at the same time, you are seeing Brady start to struggle a bit over the past couple of weeks, and Bruce Arians and his system and Brady's sort of acclimation or struggles to acclimate into a new offense. So, you know, so many people, Chris, were like, oh, we're going to get a chance to see who was more responsible. Was it Brady? Was it Belichick? And people like myself were saying, well, you know, they were probably pretty good together. And I think the past couple of weeks have given us evidence that maybe it's just that. Maybe it's the sum was greater than the parts.
Absolutely. And then you look at their humiliating defeat for the Buccaneers, 38-3 by the Saints. Not really much good you could say from that game for Tom Brady at all.
No, not at all. No. I mean, that offense looks bad right now, which was a surprise, because a couple of weeks ago, that looked like one of the better offenses in football. But now,
Position players, you would think that they're going to be one of the best offenses in football. I mean, you know, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, now you add Antonio Brown. You have Leonard Fournette. Ronald Jones has been playing better. Rob Gronkowski. I mean, you know, the list goes on and on of the players they have, and it just doesn't seem to be meshing very well in Tampa. But that is not why I had you come on today. I wanted to talk to you about what we usually talk about when you come on the show, Patrick Mahomes. He has hit a new level this year, at least in my eyes. And, you know, as of Sunday, he joined the 100 touchdown pass club in only 40 games. What have you really seen from him that has changed this year compared to the last couple?
You know, this offseason, Chris, there was a story that sort of generated a little bit of buzz sort of in the football world where Mahomes was interviewed and he was talking about how he wants to get better in terms of film study and diagnosing what defenses are doing. A lot of people were like, what, he doesn't study film? He's not, you know, he doesn't know how to watch film and things like that. And what Mahomes was really talking about was his ability to sort of diagnose what a defense is showing him before the ball is snapped and then attacking the defense with the right correspondent read. And I think that's what I've seen from him this year is that pre-snap awareness has taken a leap. You know, his ability post-snap, his ability to just simply throw the football, his athleticism, which is tied to that, those are all obviously big parts of what he can do. But it's that ability in the pre-snap phase of the play that has really sort of taken a step forward. And you could pull out some examples from his game last week against Carolina where you see him making some really advanced anticipation throws to the middle of the field. He had one thrown a dig route where he threw it, you know, behind the linebacker well before the receiver made that break. That's really impressive. And it shows you that he's ahead of the game from a mental perspective when the ball is snapped. And so that for me, Chris, is sort of the biggest thing that jumps out.
Well, and when you look at something like that and you look at the skill set that he's already brought to the NFL, that has got to be scaring defensive coordinators like crazy.
I mean,
his physical tools were insane to begin with. His mental capability of, you know, storing the plays and figuring out what defenses are going to do post-snap were already good. But to get to the pre-snap stuff and really become a student of the game and get to a point, I'm not going to call him Peyton Manning, where Peyton Manning was as good as he was, but he's getting to the point where he's going to be closer to that level, a lot closer to that level in the next couple of years.
I think that's exactly right. And, you know, you do see that with quarterbacks as they sort of age and grow. You know, sometimes it takes a while for the mental side of the game to catch up to the physical tools. But where Mahomes was so advanced from a physical perspective already, you know, he had the ability to be one of the games, if not the game's best quarterback at such an early point in his career. But now his ability to diagnose what defenses are doing is going to put him on another level. And I mentioned that dig route throw to Hardman. People want to look it up. Second and four, second quarter, 12:02 mark. Carolina shows him, you know, pre-snap single high, and they spin it to that too high look post-snap. But he knows exactly what he needs to do to throw this dig route. He stares to the left, holds that backside safety, then comes right to throw that dig route, and again works it behind the dropping linebacker in that Tampa 2 cover 2 type scheme. That's the stuff that you can do if you're ahead of the game when the ball is snapped. And that is a huge part of quarterback growth. And no, not to make a comparison between two different quarterbacks, but take where Patrick Mahomes is and take what Daniel Jones is. Now, Daniel Jones is just in year two, but he's struggling to read one receiver defined throws and one receiver concepts. Whereas Mahomes is so far advanced right now where Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy can dial up any sort of creative thing, including putting the guy in motion, which is just absurd, and execute plays. And so, you know, if you're a defensive coordinator, if you're, you know, a Bill Belichick facing these guys or any other defensive coordinator has to face these guys down the road, you know, what do you do? Like, there are so many different ways that they could beat you. Your best hope is to have a guy like a Bosa brother where you can get pressure with three or four, and then you can drop seven or eight into coverage, and hopefully you just hold on for dear life. I mean, that seems to be the only way to beat this team.
Yeah, and well, unless they beat themselves, which they've done a couple of times as well in different scenarios. But I think what you're pointing out, and I think what is so key here is Mahomes gets a lot of credit as being one of the best football players in the NFL, and some would argue that he's probably the best player in the NFL. I definitely think I'd probably put myself into that category. But I think the bigger thing here is you also still have people that are saying that his weapons are what make him good. I think that what you're saying right now is it's not his weapons. His weapons really help him. Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce don't help him, don't get me wrong. So does Mecole Hardman and Sammy Watkins. But when you put the mental capacity there, with the ability to make the throws that he can make, it just changes the game completely from a scheme perspective of what you can call as an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I mean, the options, the designs, the concepts are unlimited for you if you're Andy Reid, if you're Eric Bieniemy, because – know, with the way that Mahomes can see the game, can read the defenses, and then execute with his arm, you know, there's no part of the playbook that you have to close off. You know, it's not like a situation where we can't do X, Y, and Z because the guy just can't make these reads and throws, or we can't do A, B, and C because the guy doesn't have the ability to put the ball where it needs to be to that area of the field. No, the entire field is open to you. And does it help when you have a tight end that can run a, you know, a post route and burn a cornerback in man coverage? It certainly helps. Doesn't hurt. You know, does it help when you have guys like Tyreek Hill and Hardman that have the speed that, you know, is tough to defend from a defensive standpoint? Certainly doesn't hurt. It definitely helps. But Mahomes and his potential and his ability to execute opens up the entire playbook. You know, and even if, you know, you had incredible weapons, if you drop me, drop Alex Smith, you drop any other quarterback, you're going to have to reduce what you can do conceptually because they don't have the ability that Patrick Mahomes does, even with these weapons in place.
Well, and I don't know if you saw the article, you might have. It was kind of funny to me that you mentioned the Mahomes going in motion. That was actually a play that he designed.
Yeah.
He actually brought that to the playbook, and Coach Reed saw it and said, you know, this looks good. I'm going to put it in the playbook. And some of the other players like Tyreek Hill can't believe that they actually ran it, but it worked.
Yeah. And look, when you have the creativity across the board with Reed and Bieniemy and obviously with Patrick Mahomes, that's a huge part. But when you also have Andy Reid deserves a ton of credit, you know, for how he's handled Patrick Mahomes, because we see so often in the NFL right now, you know, offensive coordinators or offensive minded head coaches that get their hands on a young quarterback, they try to get them to do what they want. And they sort of shrink their horizon, shrink their vision of what that quarterback can be. Whereas Reed has gone the other direction. He has opened up what he wants his offense to be. You know, this isn't Andy Reid's, you know, your father's West Coast offense. This is a completely different thing. And Reed has been open to whatever they want to do conceptually. He's been open to, you know, whether it was that Ferrari right play that Mahomes came up with in practice, or the, you know, the Rose Bowl film piece that Eric Bieniemy grabbed, you know, in the Super Bowl for that first touchdown, in Super Bowl 54. You know, Reed has basically checked his ego at the door and said, look, you know, we could do so many different things conceptually with the talent we have, you know, with Patrick Mahomes and what he can do. So I'm not going to call like the same 10 or 12 plays that I like to call. Let's get everybody doing the stuff that they want to do. And that's made them so dangerous.
Yeah, I really love what you said about that. And we will talk a little bit more about the creativity that Andy Reid has shown and what they've got in their playbook after this break. Although I also want to talk a little bit about Mahomes' interceptions as well. We'll be right back.
There are a ton of things that build walls in my life. Time is hard to come by. And when I need to break through, Built Go is something that helps me get through it, whether it's a mental or a physical wall. Break through with Go every day. They're easy 1.5 ounce packages that fit anywhere in your pocket, in your briefcase, in your backpack. And Go's the best workout gel on the market. It's 5 hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for your body. It's like drinking a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. And there's 3 brand new delicious flavors.
I absolutely love the peanut butter honey, and I also enjoyed the chocolate mint. So you need to check these out. These are absolutely delicious. Built Go combines energy gel with collagen protein. Collagen protein is fast absorbing, so it gets into my system fast. Plus, it's easy on the stomach. Built Go is loaded with the good stuff to ignite my work. Beta-alanine, B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine. Built Go then kicks to keep me going strong. B6, B12, 10,000% of your daily percentages. Collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you look better. Visit BillGo.com and use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at BillGo.com. Let's go. All right, so before the break, we were talking about creativity. And, you know, one of the things I mentioned on the podcast earlier this week was how funny is it that Kansas City is now run 2 separate instances of tackle eligible plays where tackles would have had a touchdown. Fisher caught one, and a second one would have been going to Mike Remmers if he wouldn't have been held.
Yeah. I mean, it's just what we were talking about a couple of minutes ago, Chris, where, you know, the creativity, you know, I think back to that Ravens game where, you know, Andy Reid was just dialing up vicious stuff, you know, early in that game with dual read screens and dual read screens with a late Y release from Travis Kelce.
And then that's a great defense. And then he just eviscerated them.
Yeah. And then to cap it off with a goal line shovel pass to your fullback, which is just, it's just cruel. But these are the types of things that they do. These are, you know, they're not set in their ways, even though many other coaching staffs might say, look, with the guys we got, we don't have to be creative. We can just call what we want to run, run our basic stuff, and we should be good enough. They're not content. They're going to keep finding different ways to stress defenses because they know if Bill Belichick spends, you know, even 10 minutes during a course of a week of practice and game prep worried about Anthony Sherman, that's 10 minutes he's not worried about Tyreek Hill. That's 10 minutes he's not worried about Travis Kelce. If, you know, the Baltimore Ravens are spending 10 minutes worried about Eric Fisher on a tackle eligible, that's 10 minutes you're not worried about CEH or Hardman. So, yeah, the more stuff you can put on film, the more you give those opponents to stress about, the more likely you are going to be successful on Sunday.
Yeah, because they can't guard everything that you can possibly throw at them. And I think it's funny that you mentioned the Anthony Sherman shovel pass because, you know, the first team that they ran that play against was your Patriots.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't successful against the Patriots.
But they, yeah. And it's an example of it where even if it doesn't work, you have to think about it, you know, because your advanced scouts are going to come to you and say, hey, Coach Belichick, we get down in the red zone. They might throw a shovel pass to the fullback. So we got to worry about that too. Now you're thinking in the back of your mind when you're facing a second and goal situation from the four, what are you going to call? We have to worry about the fullback and the win on top of everything else.
Yep. All right. So let's dive into Patrick Mahomes and his interceptions. And I mean, he's just thrown so many this year. Oh, wait, it's only one.
Right.
I don't get it. Like when Ryan and I talked about Mahomes coming out of college and after Kansas City drafted him, we were both on the same page. If he throws 12 to 14 picks his first year, we'll be happy. He's never been close to that.
Yeah.
He's never gotten anywhere close to that. It's just, it's insane to me. And you see him throw one interception. Don't get me wrong. He's had balls that probably should have been picked, but to have one interception with 25 touchdowns.
Right.
Going into your bye week.
And the one interception came on a 4th and 7 with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter when they were down 33-24. So it's not like a situation where it was, you know, your run-of-the-mill play early in the first quarter and just made a bad read and throw. This was a gotta-have-it situation. Now, was he lazy with his eyes in that moment? Yeah, because he's running, you know, a three-receiver concept to the left, and it's a cover six type look, and he doesn't, you know, do anything to look off the backside safety who reads his eyes and jumps it. But yeah, Chris, I was right there with you and Ryan. I remember talking about Mahomes before his draft, and I said, look, he's going to need an offensive coordinator or an offensive-minded head coach that's willing to live with some of the risks that he's going to take. But at the same time, like, he'll probably throw a decent amount of interceptions. So that coach is going to have to ride that out. I didn't expect him to do this. Like, this is absurd. I mean, one interception at this point in the season. And yeah, there have been some interceptable balls, but you know, you could find interceptable throws from even the most conservative-minded of quarterbacks. To have that level of aggressiveness and willingness to push the ball downfield and to have these kinds of results, I think most, if not all, 32 NFL coaches would take that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you look at, I take it back, he did throw 12 interceptions his first year starting, but he also threw 50 touchdowns that year, but only 5 last year. And so far, 1 this year. He's on pace to have 2 interceptions this season. Obviously, I think he goes over that at some point. I think he'll throw a pick or two. But the way he is going through reads, and like you said earlier, and when we were talking about his pre-snap stuff, if you know what the defense is going to do before they even start doing it after the snap, you're going to know where to go with the ball. And as long as you make a throw like he normally does, he's not going to have an issue with the interceptions because he's not going to put the ball in harm's way.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's why, you know, good offensive play designers find ways to give the quarterback information before the ball is snapped. And what a lot of the Chiefs do is done to do that from a formation standpoint. Like when you line up with Y ISO and you've got Travis Kelce alone on one side of the formation and you look across and you see a corner or you see a safety, like you've got a pretty idea what the coverage is. Same thing if you've got guys in motion or shifting around pre-snap. And to pair that ability to put information in your quarterback's mind before the snap with Mahomes and his advanced ability to diagnose what defenses are doing pre-snap, that's where you want to be as an offense. And that's going to lead to the ability to execute on those throws downfield and the ability to make well-reasoned, well-informed decisions on throws downfield that then minimize the risk there will be a turnover once you make that throw.
Well, and the crazy thing to me is looking at Mahomes' stats, yards per attempt is 8.2, air yards per attempt is 9.6. So it's not like he's not taking shots down the field. He is still being effective and moving the ball just like you would want him to be, and throwing only one pick this entire season so far. I'm amazed watching him play. I will admit, you know, I said on the show a couple of weeks ago, I thought that maybe he was not going to get the record of getting to 100 touchdown passes. And then he goes off against the Jets and the Panthers for 9 touchdowns in 2 weeks.
Yeah. And look, you know, he's doing pretty much everything at a very high level. I mean, you look at the deep pass, and which is really sort of kicked up a notch against the Jets, a little bit against Carolina as well. He's got 41 attempts of over 20 or more yards this year, and he's completed 17 of those as an adjusted completion percentage of 48.8, which is ninth best in the league right now. NFL passer rating of 118.1, which is fifth best in the league. 8 touchdowns, and yes, just that one interception. That's on the deep pass and stuff. But he's also hitting stuff underneath. He's hitting stuff, you know, near the line of scrimmage as well. He's making good reads and throws to all levels of the field. And when you do that as an offense, you are so hard to defend.
Yeah. Well, and I think what you are seeing from him is going to continue to accelerate this year. Where do you expect him to end up at the end of the year? What do you think his ceiling is, I guess, this year?
I mean, where else would you look other than him to be sort of QB1 when all is said and done? I mean, when you look at the execution, the way he's playing, the way he can make throws to all levels of the field, what he's doing before the snap, before the ball is, you know, in his hands, and how he's reading and deciphering defenses. You know, it's hard to make a case that there's a better quarterback in the game right now. And it's hard to make a case that this is going to fade anytime soon. You know, and for those who think, look, this is more a function of his weapons than anything else, I would just, you know, caution you from that kind of position, because his ability now, when you get that mental part of the game paired up with where he is physically, makes him such a dangerous quarterback to defend. And so, look, sky's the limit. It's been the limit for him basically since he got this job. And I think if you're a Chiefs fan, you just have to love what you're seeing right now.
I hate making this comparison, but I'm going to, because to me, it just embodies what I think would really scare defenses over the next couple of years. Peyton Manning was a fantastic quarterback, but he never had the arm that Patrick Mahomes has in a lot of ways. And Peyton Manning was not mobile. And I'm not calling Patrick a running quarterback by any means, but he's mobile enough to get first downs when needed and mobile enough to move around in the pocket and shift and move things around. If he can get the mental game anywhere close to where Manning was, that's going to be a scary quarterback combination in the coming years.
Yeah, it's absolutely terrifying. And I think, Chris, as we start to see more of what works and what doesn't in today's NFL, quarterbacks have to be mobile. Now, there's a spectrum of mobility that you need. You don't have to be Tua or Kyler or somebody like that. You could be more like the Patrick Mahomes type of mobility where you can avoid a free rusher. You know, you can pick up a first down if you need to. But more than anything else, you can create space. And I know a lot of people have talked about how sometimes Mahomes is drifting on his drops and things like that. Well, one, he has the arm talent to get away with it. And two, he also is doing that to create space to make throws. Because if you get a free rusher in your face, you know, sometimes you want to escape the pocket or climb the pocket, but he's just retreating in a bit to create more space. You think about that out and up touchdown he threw against Baltimore. That's what he did. And when you can still retreat to 11 yards deep in the pocket and then uncork a throw that carries 75 yards in the air and put it on the money, like, what do you do?
How do you defend that?
How do you defend that? That's exactly right. And so, you know,
I mean, yeah. you typify the 49ers frustration from the Super Bowl. That wasp play. That's exactly what he did. He dropped in the pocket, 13 yards, and threw the ball 50 yards down the field. And there's no way to defend that. And Tyree Kill's wide open. And, you know, that changed, that completely flipped the game.
Yeah, it absolutely flipped that game on its head. And so, you know, are there areas where, you know, people can, you know, quibble with some of the stuff he does? Yeah. People might say he's dropping too deep in the pocket. Okay. But it's similar, I'd say, to the whole Aaron Donald is a bad run defender argument, which is, you know, Donald is so good at getting that penetration that does he sometimes, you know, almost run himself out of the play? Perhaps. But then when he runs himself into a play, he turns it into a 10-yard loss. It's kind of like being a home run hitter. It's the same with Mahomes. Might there be a time where he almost runs himself into a sack by doing that? Perhaps. But then there are other times when he hits on Wasp or hits on that throw against the Ravens for a 75-yard touchdown. And if you're Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy, you will live with that because you know that at a certain moment, he can change the course of a game, of a drive, of a season with one big play.
Absolutely. And I love what you said about Aaron Donald. I would say that Chiefs fans could say the same thing about Chris Jones. I think Chris Jones runs himself out of some plays with the way he plays at times, but I completely get your comparison. I think it's fantastic. Mark, thank you so much for coming on. I really do appreciate it.
Anytime, Chris. Be well, all buddy.
Right. Thank you all for listening, and we'll be back with you tomorrow.
Ryan Tracy is the founder of Rogue Analytics and the host of RGR Football on YouTube. Follow him there. Chris Clark is a senior analyst at ChiefsDigest.com, where you can get his work. Rate and review at Apple Podcasts and subscribe on your preferred podcast platform. Thank you for listening.